So let's turn to Psalm chapter 9 and let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ as we approach the word this morning, your holy written word. We acknowledge that which we are about to share this morning did not come by the will of any man. For it is written that holy men wrote the word and spoke the word as your spirit moved them. And so the holy scriptures have their origin from you. And therefore, we incline our ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning by your spirit. And we ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that as we look into the perfect law of liberty this morning, our eyes of understanding will be enlightened to see the truth that will make us free. For you brought us the truth, that by the truth we may walk in the glorious liberty of the children of God. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth, now and always. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 9. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at the importance of knowing the name of Jesus personally. In other words, each one of us, as members of the body of Christ, must have revelation knowledge of the name of Jesus, so that we can take advantage of the power of Christ in our daily lives. Jesus has brought us life and victory, and he expects us to be able to walk in that path of life and that path of victory at all times, no matter what may be happening in the world around us. You see, the name of Jesus Christ, Bible says, is above every other name. That name has authority over everything that is created. Because there was nothing made that was not made by Christ, Bible says in John chapter 1. And in Christ was life, and that life was the light of men. And then he came to the earth and became flesh and tabernacled with us, and now we can identify with him and identify with God the Father through him, because Jesus and the Father are one, just as he himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, Psalm chapter 9, from verse 9 to 10, again, let's go. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Hallelujah. Now, notice verse 9 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. In other words, the Lord is our place of safety. He is the one that keeps us safe, because a refuge is the place you run to for safety, for protection, and for preservation. It's a stronghold that you run to where the enemy cannot touch you. The enemy can run and run after you, but when you run into that name, the devil will stop short, because he cannot go beyond that. The name of Jesus is higher than every other name. And at the name of Jesus, even the devil bows and trembles. And that's why as Christians we have to understand the authority that is in the name of Jesus and the power that God the Father himself has vested in the name of Jesus Christ his Son. Remember, Jesus was named Jesus when he was born on the 8th day because the angel Gabriel, when he went to Mary, told her ahead of time what was going to happen concerning the child that was in a womb, and that the name of that child should be called Jesus. In other words, Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus means. God saves. Because he's going to save his people from their sin. You see, sin was the root of all the curse. Because the devil is the sinner, and he came to the earth to defile mankind with his nature of sin. And Bible says, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, no matter what may be happening in the world, for us as Christians, we know where our help is coming from. And you see, let me say this before we progress. Knowing where your help is coming from is one thing. Seeking help from that source is another. We may know, for instance, that there is water in the fridge at home, so that when we are thirsty, we can have water to drink. But that knowledge or that information will not do any of us any good when we are thirsty until we actually get up and go and open up the fridge and take the water. So knowing the word of God is not enough until you really have the willingness to live by it. We have to understand clearly the authority that is in the name of Jesus and the absolute power that is in that name, and then make our individual choices to run to that name for refuge on a daily basis, not just because we have trouble, but because we understand that that is our place of safety. You see, even in natural medicine, we know that there is what is called immunization. Immunization is the means by which you are injected with a substance, let's just use that word, a substance that is meant to prevent you from having a particular disease. It is sometimes called vaccination. So you are injected with that vaccine in order to prevent you from falling down with the sickness. So it's a form of protection against the infection. And then there is the aspect of curing diseases, which after somebody has caught an infection, then the infection is treated. So we can see that even in natural medicine, they understand that there is prevention and then there is cure. And a good doctor will tell you that prevention is better than cure. It is the same with the word of God. It is the same with the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus will prevent us from falling into the hands of the enemy. And the name of Jesus will set us free when we are falling in a sense. So whichever way, we must understand where our help is coming from. When troubles have come, we must use the name of Jesus to get us out of the trouble. But then we have to understand that we can use the name of Jesus ahead of time so that when trouble comes, the trouble will not be able to wreak any havoc in our lives, because we'll be in position of safety in Christ where the enemy's plans cannot prosper against us. And that's what the Bible is saying here, that the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Now look at verse 10. And they that know thy name. Not everybody, but those who know the name. Those who know the name. Those who know the name. And as we have shared consistently all along, we have established the truth that the knowledge that we need is not natural knowledge. It is not head knowledge. It is not knowledge that we gain by just reading the Bible, just for reading's sake, like we read any other book. But it is the kind of knowledge that comes through the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, as He teaches us the Word of God, that we may understand it and have it stored in our hearts rather than our heads. Because if all we've done is to memorize scriptures, store them in our heads, when trouble comes, we can still end up behaving like people who don't even know God. Because all that we have is just head knowledge. Head knowledge can't get us out of trouble. The only thing that will get us out of trouble is the revelation knowledge of the truth that aligns us with the Word of God and makes us to be doers of the Word rather than hearers only. Because hearing the Word only is not profitable, Bible says. It is the doers of the Word that shall be justified. The reason why we hear the Word is to proceed to the next stage of clearly choosing to do what we have heard. And that takes, you know, some effort from us in meditating on what we have heard. Like we said the last time, when we hear the Word, we have to meditate in the Word. We have to keep rolling that Word in our minds. We have to keep thinking upon the Word of God so that what we have heard now becomes a revelation to us. And when we get that revelation, we'll be able to walk in the blessings of the Word of God, because revelation is what we all need. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who lives in us and who is the one that helps us to have revelation knowledge of the truth. Now let's turn quickly again to Matthew. We looked at that the last time, because again we said that the knowledge that we are talking about, or the revelation knowledge that we are talking about, is not something that you and I must try to get on our own, because we don't need any new revelation, really, of the name of Jesus. The revelation is already written in the scriptures. We just need to meditate in what is already written and allow the Holy Spirit to give us clear understanding of what the name really means, the authority that is in the name, and the power, the absolute power. I use that word absolute because there is nothing that name cannot do, because God is omnipotent and the name of Jesus is God saves. In other words, God who has the power to do everything according to what He has promised. The only power that God does not have is power to do evil, because there is no evil with God. God is light, in Him there is no darkness at all. But when you are looking for anything good, God has the power to do it for you. And so you have to know that through the name of Jesus, you can get the hand of God to come and help you in any area of your life on a daily basis. Not just occasionally, but every day of your life, no matter the circumstance, because daily we look to God for our daily bread. Remember the Lord's Prayer. Every day we look to Him for our daily bread. Okay, Matthew chapter 16. So the revelation that we all need to have clearly about the name of Jesus is what Peter, by the Holy Spirit, declared concerning Jesus here, that Jesus Himself acknowledged as coming by the Holy Spirit. In other words, this is revelation of who I am, and this is what it is all about. And I'm building my church on this revelation. Knowledge of myself is not talking about building His church on Christ, Peter, but building His church on Himself as the Christ. And when you and I have revelation knowledge of Jesus as the Christ, will build our lives on that revelation, and we'll have peace, and we'll have rest, we'll have hope, and we'll be able to walk in the strength of God all the days of our lives. There is no defeat for a child of God, because Jesus is the winner. And that name always gives us victory. Remember, Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, he disarmed them. He spoiled them. Therefore, we can walk in the authority of the name of Jesus and have victory at all times over our adversary called the devil and all his works. All right. So, in Matthew 16, for the sake of context, I'll read it from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now, let's pause for a minute. And if you and I really ask around, even today in our generation, we'll find people having different ideas about who Jesus is. Some will say, well, he's just a prophet. Some will say, it's just this, it's just that. Well, Jesus did not argue with the people's version, but he turned to his own people. "Do you really know me?" "They don't know me. They don't have revelation, knowledge of me. So they are calling me what they think I am. But do you really know who I am, really, really, really?" And Peter, look at verse 16. So when Jesus in verse 15 says to them, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" So you as a Christian must know who Christ is. That's why you are called a Christian. You have to know the person that you are following. You have to know the head of the church, Jesus himself. You have to have a clear revelation knowledge of who he is and take advantage of that knowledge in all areas of your life, day by day. Verse 16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And as we already shared the last time, look at what Peter says here. He didn't say, "Thou art Christ, thou art Son of the living God," so that we can begin to think maybe it's just one, then there's another. Say, "You are the," specific, "the Christ," then "the Son of God." Two things about the revelation of Jesus Christ we find there in Peter's answer. But before we look again at those two things which we mentioned the last time, let's look at Jesus' answer just to realize that Peter's revelation of the name of Jesus was perfect. 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 100% accurate. Because Jesus himself answers to him. Look at verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." In other words, this did not come by head knowledge. This is not by human understanding. This is not by your own intellect, Peter. This is not the product of your human reasoning. Because nobody can get this by human reasoning. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's why as Christians, we need the Holy Spirit to bring us revelation knowledge of the truth. We cannot read the Bible like we read any other book and interpret the Bible like we interpret any other book with our head knowledge, with our reasoning and our intellect. We have to use the mind of Christ to study the Bible and reason the word, because when we are meditating in the word of God prayerfully, what we are doing is using the mind of our spirit where the Holy Spirit lives, so that the Holy Spirit can teach us and guide us into the truth. And then when we get it, we know by the witness of the Holy Spirit that this is it. And when we walk in that, it will give us victory in that situation. So Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now look at the next verse. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock upon this rock. Please underline the key word there. This rock. In other words, upon this revelation that you have just spoken, Peter, by the help of the Holy Spirit, upon this revelation of the fact that I am Christ, the Christ, and the Son of God, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell. Now notice the gates of hell. In other words, the devil. All the works of the devil will never be able to prevail against it. Why? Just as it was in heaven. Remember, we read it earlier this morning, Revelation chapter 12. The devil, the dragon fought, and Michael fought, and Bible says the devil prevailed not. He couldn't prevail in heaven, and he can't prevail against you here on earth because you are citizen of heaven. That's why Jesus came to the earth to gather his own flock together, and through Christ, we have access to the victory of heaven over the devil. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, back up again to verse 16. Two key revelation knowledge of Jesus we find in that particular verse. The first one is that Jesus is the Christ. And that means the anointed one, because Christ there is the Greek word Christos. In other words, the anointed one, the one that God the Father anointed. Not any other one. It's not talking about any other prophet now. It is Jesus the Christ. Even Moses spoke about him, that there is one that God is going to give to the Israelites among his people there. And he's the one that everybody must listen to. So we are not talking about religion now. We are talking about the person that God himself anointed and sent into this world on a mission. So when we talk about Jesus being the Christ, we are talking about his mission, what he came to do. And when we know that Jesus the Christ has already come and he has done what God sent him to do, and we walk in that revelation knowledge, we'll benefit from what he has already done for us all. And then the second thing is that he is the Son of God. So the Christ talks about the mission that Jesus came to accomplish here on earth. And then the Son of God talks about his own nature as God himself. Because the Son of God means his one nature with God. His one nature with God. That's why the name of Jesus means God saves. So God is the one bringing us the salvation. So we talk about the divinity of Christ and we talk about the mission of Christ. Jesus is God and is the anointed one who came with the anointing. Then I ask you to study Isaiah 61. So let's go there right now, because Jesus being the Christ conveys certain truths to us to live by. If you have personal revelation knowledge of Jesus as the Christ, you will meditate on Isaiah 61 every day of your life, and you release your faith accordingly that today I'm going to enjoy these promises because Jesus the Christ is head over my life. He's my shepherd. I'm the body of Christ. I'm joined to him, and the life of Christ is flowing into me. Remember, Jesus himself said in John chapter 15 that I am the vine, you are the branches. In other words, life is flowing from me to you. Stay connected. Abide in me. Stay connected with me so that you can receive my power, receive my nature, receive my life, receive everything about me and walk in it. Oh, someone may say, well, is that possible? Oh, yes, that's why Jesus came. And that's why you are called a Christian. But you just have to have the clear knowledge of who Christ is. Understand his mission, understand his nature. Walk in it, and you will enjoy the power of Christ in all areas of your life, day by day, at all times. Not just occasionally, but every time. So you will be able to live your life in peace and have rest. Nothing will move you. Like Paul said, none of these things move me. Nothing bothers you because you are trusting not in yourself. You are trusting in Christ, and you know Christ is more than able to take care of every situation in your life. Now, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. You see, the Christ. The Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Well, say to yourself, God will be glorified in all areas of my life and in every situation, as long as I keep my faith in him through Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, when you get home, meditate in this passage of scripture that we just read, because that talks about what the anointing will do. The anointing of Christ, what it will do. How it will bring a total change, total turnaround from captivity to liberty for everyone that follows Christ and put their faith in him. How he will give us beauty for ashes. How he will turn our mourning into joy. You see, Jesus has come to undo the works of the devil. What the devil did in the Garden of Eden to rob man of the blessings that God gave to man, Jesus has come to undo and restore things back to God's plan for mankind. So you have to then learn to release your faith accordingly and trust in the power of Christ himself, the anointing to establish all these things in your life. So when trouble comes your way, don't sit down and feel brokenhearted, because Jesus has come to bind up the brokenhearted. You just look to him and call on his name and say, in the name of Jesus, I believe God for a turnaround in my situation. He heals my brokenheartedness, because Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted. So that's what it means. You see, the Christ has come to do this. And remember, Jesus himself in Luke chapter 4 quoted from this particular Isaiah chapter 61 on this particular day. So you can write that reference down and look at it on your own later. Luke chapter 4 from verse 16 to 21. Jesus himself went into Nazareth, asked for this scroll of prophet Isaiah, and opened to this passage that we just read and declared it and said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. In other words, I am the Christ. I am the one. And I've come to do exactly what Isaiah prophesied. I've come to bring liberty to humanity. As many as would follow me, as many as who have faith in me, they will be able to enjoy my power to do all these things for them. Praise God. Now, let's just write some things down so we can take home and meditate in, because we have to be able to put the word of God together in a way that will make it a unit for us to be able to walk in the whole counsel of God. See, one of the greatest problems we have today in the body of Christ is many of us walking with half truth and thinking we already know it. And then we end up shipwrecking our faith because of our lack of understanding of the counsel of God. The word of God is not something we pick here and there, because when we do that, we'll end up with wrong doctrine. Let me give you an example which you all know without opening your Bible. For instance, Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and you shall receive. Isn't that so? But if that's all I know, I will ask and will not receive anything. Because I still don't understand that there are rules of asking. It's just like me just seeing some people play tennis. I say, tennis is good, but I don't understand the rules. So I take the racket and I begin to hit the ball anyhow. I'll be disqualified. Or I say, I like athletics. I'm just going to get on the track. And then when I see somebody run, I run in front of them, cross my track and cross into their lane to stop them from beating me. I'll be disqualified. So I have to know the rules that govern asking in the Word of God. For instance, the same Bible that says in Matthew 7, 7, ask and you shall receive, says in James chapter 1 from verse 5 to verse 7, that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid, but let him ask in faith. So we see there's a rule concerning asking. You have to ask in faith. If you don't ask in faith, you don't get it. And then we come to John chapter 16, and then John chapter 14 also, we find that you have to ask in the name of Jesus. You understand what I'm talking about now? Because I'm studying asking everywhere in the Bible, I have the whole counsel of God. I'll be able to ask without violating the rules. Then I'll be able to get results because I'm asking in the name of Jesus. I'm asking in faith. And then 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, I have to ask according to the will of God. James chapter 4 also, verse 2 says, well, the reason why we don't have is because we don't ask. And then the reason why we don't have receive when we ask is because we ask amiss. So, because we're asking with the wrong motive. So, I have to ask with the right motive. So, from one asking, now I have a clear understanding. Then I'll then sit down and be able to ask and get it. Because I'm not just asking for asking's sake. I'm asking in faith. I'm asking in the name of Jesus. I'm asking according to the will of God. I'm asking for the right motive. But then someone else just read Matthew 7, 7, gets excited, pray, hallelujah. It is written, ask and shall receive. Okay, all I need to do is just ask now. But you are not asking according to the rules. You'll be disqualified from receiving. So we have to understand the whole counsel of God. So please write this down so that when you study what we are sharing, you'll be able to apply this truth to your life on a daily basis and walk in all the best that God has for you. Okay, the first thing that you should write down is that the true knowledge of the name of Jesus that comes by the Holy Spirit is necessary for me to develop a personal trust in him. The true knowledge of the name of Jesus that comes by the Holy Spirit is necessary for me as an individual to develop a personal trust in him. Remember, Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, they that know thy name shall put their trust in you. Because you see, you can't trust a stranger. The more you know Christ by revelation of who he is, the more your heart will be able to trust him. So when trouble comes, you are not afraid. You are not panicky because you know Christ is more than able to take care of it for you. So why should I have a sleepless night when I have Christ in the boat of my life? Storm or no storm, I'm going to the other side. You understand what I'm talking about? Because Jesus has the power to calm the storm. What I can't do, he can do. And then when I rely on him, I can do all things through him, Christ who strengthens me. Now, write this next. How then Do I walk in this revelation knowledge? And answer that same question by saying, by meditating in the Word of God and praying that the Holy Spirit will teach me. You see, if I'm going to walk in this revelation knowledge, remember, I don't need to have a new one. I just need to walk in the one that is already written about Jesus being the Christ and the Son of God. So I have to pray personally that the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that gave it to Peter, will give it to me clearly as an individual, so that I can walk in all the benefits of the name of Jesus in my life. All right. Then write this down. The more I wait on the Holy Spirit, the more I will understand that the name of Jesus Christ is equivalent to the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, the name of Jesus is as good as Jesus himself being there. That's what I'm trying to say. Like if I say Jesus, for instance, calling on that name with faith in my heart and that revelation knowledge that I have brings me that personal trust that Jesus will appear right there because I call this name. You know how it is naturally when you call the name of a person, they will come. So in calling the name of the person, I say, come. That's what it means. So when I say, in Jesus' name, because of the revelation I have in me concerning that name, I'm simply in my thoughts saying, well, Jesus now has come and is in control of the situation. And you and I know that if Jesus were to come in our room and appear to us and say, come, like he said to Thomas Didymus, come near, I am Christ, behold me. Oh, John, Jesus in my room, all my troubles are gone. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus has visited me. You don't need to see him physically. When you know the name, you'll be able to trust with all your heart that when I say in Jesus' name, it's as good as Jesus himself being there. And when Jesus is physically present in a situation, you have the victory. Because who can resist Christ? He has already defeated the devil. But you see, the problem with us is because we don't have this revelation knowledge, we all do so many things, pray, do many things, and we call in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And after praying, we get up, we are still full of doubt. What happened now? Didn't Jesus come? And yet he said, lo, I am with you always. But he needs faith. He can't do anything without your faith. And because we are not calling that name in faith, because of lack of revelation knowledge, we are just calling it as if it's a magic to use to get us out of trouble. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Without the revelation knowledge that leads us into the kind of faith that God wants us to live by, we cannot benefit from the things of the kingdom of God while we are here on earth. We need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that was why in one of the teachings we've done already on this, we emphasize what Peter said. Remember Acts chapter 3, when himself and John administered to that man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And then the people gathered looking on Peter and John as though they were special human beings. Peter immediately corrected them. He said, well, don't look on us as if by our own goodness or by our own power we've made this man to walk. It is the name of Jesus. Through faith in the name. You see, that's the key. I don't just know the name. I release my faith in the name to minister to this man as the Holy Spirit led me. That's why the man is walking. Even though he was born lame, now he's walking on his feet, not because of me, but because of the name of Jesus the Christ, who came with the anointing to destroy the yoke. And my own faith in that name, because of the revelation of that name that I have. That's why I said to the man, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In other words, I know this name, and I know the name can turn your life around. Forget about what the devil has done in making you a cripple from birth. This name can make you walk. This name can make you become somebody who is doing exactly like every other person. I know the name. I receive it by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself approved my revelation knowledge. And that is why I was able to minister to this man, that man, forget about what the devil has done. Forget about how he tried to give you a bad identity. Forget about all that you've been through since you were born. Forget about all the sufferings and all the limitations that this lameness has caused you. Forget about even people who have mocked you as a lame man from birth. Forget about that. This name can turn your life around. This name can give you beauty for ashes. This name can make you to become somebody that will glorify God. Remember we read it in Isaiah? That God might be glorified. And God was truly glorified on that day. Because everybody said, ah, is it not this man that was my name? Look at him jumping. Look at him coming in the temple and jumping. This is a miracle. Glory to God. See, that's what we are talking about. That name can turn our lives around. But we have to have faith in the name. It doesn't work by just calling it, just for calling's sake. It works by calling it with faith because of the revelation knowledge that you have. And then you then be able to walk in the understanding that the name of Jesus is above every other name. Therefore, everything and everyone created is subject to the name of Jesus. Remember, we said when you call on that name, it's as good as Jesus himself being there physically, because the name of a person is representative of that person. And then you come to the next understanding by the Holy Spirit, that just as it is written, Philippians, you can write that down, particularly those two verses, verses 10 and 11, or maybe from verse 9 to 11. God himself gave the name to his son and exalted him, and his name is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, including problems and sickness and afflictions and plagues and all manner of evil that the devil has come to walk here on earth. They will all bow at the name of Jesus. But again, you see, it doesn't just bow because you say in Jesus' name. It bows because you say in Jesus' name by the revelation knowledge that leads to trust personally in that name, leads you to trust personally in that name, and so that when you call in that name, you know it's a done deal, because Jesus comes into that situation to take care of it for you. It won't be like the seven sons of Sceva who are trying to call on the name of Jesus without revelation knowledge, and they were disgraced. We have to know so that we can trust, then use it to our advantage. Then write this down. You also begin to live daily trusting in what Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. We looked at that the last time. Remember, Jesus himself said that whatsoever shall ask the ask the Father here in John chapter 14. He said, he's talking about what you ask in his name. You are not praying to God now. He's talking about you making a demand, just using his name to get result. He said, whatsoever, in fact, turn there with me quickly. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. And the word ask there literally means demand. Whatever you demand. So you can talk straight to the mountain in the name of Jesus. And the mountain will move. Now who is moving the mountain? We emphasized that the last time. It's not you moving the mountain. So don't stand before the mountain and try to use your human strength. Otherwise the mountain is not going anywhere. You see, that's why we need revelation knowledge. And that's why many of us, even when we are praying, we say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, and then, yeah, in Jesus' name. And then we are sweating there as if we are the one to do the work. Huh? Something is wrong. When you have revelation knowledge of that name, when you say to that situation in Jesus' name, you know it's a done deal. You don't even stand there struggling with it because you know you've handed it over to Christ. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. And the devil will know, you really know. He will back off now. He will back off. Look at what Jesus himself said. John chapter 14. Thank God for the truth. Verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. So it's not talking about praying to the Father. In John chapter 16, it talks about whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. So we have to use the name of Jesus in prayer. But now it's talking about you using the name of Jesus straight against situations that are contrary to the will of God in your life. So you can point to sickness in your body and say, in the name of Jesus, I demand you leave my body now. And then you begin to praise Jesus. Someone says, is it that simple? Oh, yes. Bible says, don't let anyone cheat you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Because the power is not of you, it's of Christ. That's why it's called the Christ. He's the one that has the power, not you. He's the one that has the anointing, not you. He gave you all these privileges as his follower. Now, look at what he then said, which we emphasized the last time. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will do. Who will do it? Hi, Jesus said. Look at it again. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I, Christ, do. Say to yourself, Jesus is the one. Say to yourself, Jesus is the one that will do it for me. Amen. So it's not man. No man will do it for you but Jesus. So don't look to the arm of flesh. It will fail you. Look to Jesus, the anointed, who cannot fail. So when you demand anything in the name of Jesus according to the will of God, Jesus himself will do it. That's why you can rest. You see, you can trust him. They that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. You know that situation is history in your life. It may still be there physically, like the fig tree. Jesus spoke to it, and it's like the fig tree is still there. But the next day, what happened? It withered. So when you speak to situations in the name of Jesus, forget about whether they still look the same or not. We walk by faith and not by sight. When you know that name cannot fail. You know you have called Jesus to come into that situation. Therefore, he will sort it out. So you can go and rest. And let Jesus do the work. Now write this down. This is the sweetest part. Sweetest part in the sense that, well, we can then realize that not only is the devil subject to the name of Jesus when Jesus himself talks to him, but that the devil is subject to you as a follower of Christ when you use the name of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, he that believes in me, the works that I do, shall they do also. and greater works than this, because I'm going to the Father. You see, I'm going to the Father so I can release the same anointing to be in my people, so that they can do exactly what I'm doing by the same anointing that I have come to use. Remember? He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus didn't do the work without the anointing. Now you have that anointing, so the devil is subject to you at the name of Jesus. And when we all know that as Christians, we won't be afraid of the devil anymore. We can tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all, not some, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Glory be to God in the highest. So please write this down. You also come to the understanding that the devil and all his works are subject to you through the name of Jesus Christ. In front of that, please write Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 19, and Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. And finally, write this down. In summary, as you use the name of Jesus, you need faith. And your faith, okay, that part, that first part, so that you can get it clearly when you're studying your notes, right in front of that, Acts chapter 3, verses 6 and 16. And then continue the statement by saying, and your faith must be built upon a personal revelation that comes from a personal lifestyle of obedience to Jesus, the Word of God. See, we cannot take faith, what I'm trying to say, and in front of that last part, please write John chapter 14. So while we are still there, John chapter 14, now verses 21 to 24. Now, you see, one of the greatest problems we have is we try to isolate faith from our life of obedience. It doesn't work. Faith is not something that you just speak when you are in trouble to get you out of trouble. Faith actually is a lifestyle. In other words, as a Christian, you have to have a lifestyle of living by the Word of God. If you are one that is living by the Word of God or obeying God as a lifestyle, when you stand your ground in faith, God will back you up faster than you realize. Because God is no respecter of persons, but he draws himself closer to those who obey him. If anybody obeys God, God will form friends with that person. He forms friends, a close friendship with Abraham, because Abraham obeyed him. He formed close friendship with Noah in his generation because Noah obeyed him. That's how it works. He's still looking, his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those who stand perfect toward him. John chapter 14, and then we pray before we go this morning. John chapter 14, let's read together from verse 21 to 24. Let's go. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus himself said, those who love him are those who are obeying him. And when they do that, both himself and the Father will come and make their home with that person. When God makes home with you, the devil is in trouble. Because God is a consuming fire. So you begin to see how our individual lives of choosing to obey God positions us to live by faith in the name of Jesus and get result. Thank God for the name that is higher than every other name. Now let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. You know your need this morning. It doesn't matter what situations have befallen you that are contrary to the will of God. Jesus came to establish the will of God for you. He lived all his life by that simple motive. He said, I've come not to do my will, but the will of him who has sent me. So every time we release our faith and our trust in the name of Jesus, the will of God will be done for us in that situation. The devil will bow. Things contrary to the will of God will bow. Because the name of Jesus always brings the will of God the Father to pass. That's who Jesus is. And that's what he has come to do. Philippians chapter 2. And let us read this together and then you apply that to your situation. So once we read it, then you think about what troubles you have, what circumstances are contrary to the will of God, and release your faith on the inside that as I'm about to call on the name of Jesus right now, I'm calling on the name that is above this trouble. I'm calling on the name that is above this situation in my life. I'm calling on the name that is above this circumstance. Therefore, I'm going to get the victory. I'm going to have the upper hand because the name of Jesus is above every other name. So let's read that together. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Let's go. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So reflect on that as you turn with me to John chapter 14, because you are going to call on that name. Again, you are not struggling with the situation. You are just speaking the name of Jesus to that situation with faith, understanding in you that that name is above that situation. So you are not the one to struggle with it. Jesus himself will take care of it because he said, I will do it. Not any man, not you yourself, not any arm of flesh, but Jesus himself will do it. So you just have to agree with him in faith and let him do what he alone can do. What no man can do, he can do. Hallelujah. He never fails. He has done it all in the spirit. He said it is finished and he is available to help us on a daily basis to walk in the victory that he already wrought for us. Hallelujah. Verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now with that understanding, ask in the name of Jesus. Make a demand for the will of God to be done in that area of your life. Because the name of Jesus is above all names. If it is sickness, you speak to that sickness in the name of Jesus. If it is any other trouble or affliction, you speak to it in the name of Jesus. And as you speak to it, have it at the back of your mind that Jesus himself will take care of it. Because when you call on his name, he will show up and he will do what he alone can do. And if you have spoken to the situation, now lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and thank God for Jesus. All glory to Jesus. All honor to Jesus. All praise to Jesus. The name above all names. The name of our Savior. The name of our Shepherd and our Guide. The name of our victorious champion who gives us victory at all times. For he came to spoil the works of the devil. And our faith is in that glorious, all-conquering name of Jesus this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for arising for everyone under the sound of my voice and all our fellow brethren in this church and in the body of Christ, wherever they may be right now. Thank you for arising for your own everywhere and giving victory to each and everyone in your body on every side. And take all the glory, dear Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and evermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Lift your hands to him and thank him.